Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As you're finding your seat, there's some few little announcements that I'd like to give you. Will you do something? Okay, praise the Lord. If I can get my wife to sit down, everything will be all right.
Happy New Year, Pastor. Happy New Year. God bless you, brother.
Thank you. God bless you. You see it? Okay, so praise the name of the Lord. You know, one of the things that I want to say here, and just in the way of an announcement, you might say, and first of all, our coat drive, you know, we've got tubs out there in the back for the coat drive. You keep that in mind. Keep on bringing the coats. You go bring coats that you're not using, can't wear anymore, whatever it would be, or go out and buy some coats and bring them, put them in there. That'd be really great. Another item just to keep up with, and that is our food pantry, right? Okay, the food goes out. The food goes out. Many times we're not saying anything about it, but it goes out. So, you know, I want you to realize there's tubs out there for that too, right? You know, bring in your canned goods, bring in your food. And because we want you to know it's being utilized, okay? So, you know, we don't say a lot about that much. And then the other thing, and I'm going to be probably calling some of you. The first year, do you know this is the anniversary of my second year here? Do you know that? Today. Somebody said the other day, said, "Good Lord, I thought you'd already been here 10 years. Yeah, second anniversary right here, the first Sunday in 2024. And so, my goodness, time flies, doesn't it? And so, you know, the prayer table here, you know, it's to start at 9:45 and go to 9:55, you know, 10 minutes. It's not a lot, 10 minutes. But boy, how gracious our God is. Put in your prayer request, and I'm going to be calling, having assignments. Beatrice is always pretty much going to be at the table. But we did that the first year. I had different ones you kind of assigned. I didn't do that this last year, right? But we want to press into intercessory prayer and praying over needs, right, on the table. Keep that in mind. You can always come and join the table, right? Right. I mean, you don't have to wait for an invitation. Please don't wait for an invitation. Come and put your hands on that table and pray over those prayer needs and prayer requests. And so I'm going to lift that up. And then also, here we go. So in our book review, our new book come out now. First of all, with the first year, you know, we had in 2024 was with Christ in the School of Prayer, Andrew Murray. I read this all the time. I've read it through, I don't know how many times, and I read it continually at various times. You know, great, wonderful book to read of. This last year, this is the book that we did, Secrets in Spiritual Power by Watchman Nee. Can't get enough of it, right? Just cannot get enough of it. So, you know, these are wonderful things, reads for you to have. And this year, this is our new one right here for this year, is Holy in Christ. And this is by Andrew Murray. We're going to talk a lot about holiness this year as we go into 2026. You know, we're going to talk a lot about holiness. And so anyway, that's it. You can get it on Amazon. Right, this particular one, you know, on Amazon was $11.20. You know, Kathy, I think, got some, and it was like $13 and some. So it's not much. Holding Christ. You know, if you want to be strong, then you better sit at the table and eat. Okay, if you don't sit at the table and eat, then what's going to happen to you is you're just going to grow weaker and more frail. That is not only in the natural, but it's also in the spiritual. It's amazing how people don't make any plan whatsoever. They walk haphazardly, spiritually speaking. They think that whatever the preacher preaches, and I don't remember it by 3 o'clock that afternoon anyway, but whatever the preacher preaches, that that's enough feeding for me, and it's not. All right, so, you know, we do this for your good, you know, and just recommendation. So anyway, praise the name of the Lord. And then also this Sunday here in a minute, I'm going to announce our vision and give a vision statement for coming into 2026 right here. And then also about intercessory prayer. We're having intercessory prayer for the month of January. We start here at 5 o'clock this afternoon. 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock will be intercessory prayer. And through every Sunday evening of this month. And so come join us. Come be a part. Learn how to do intercession by among people who are interceding. You know, it's a wonderful time, a wonderful way to learn in the Lord. So anyway, you know, that's what we'll do. 5 o'clock, be from 5 to 6, starting with this evening. You know, let's go, if we would, to Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to begin with, you know, this is the Sunday where I'm giving forth a vision statement, and I'm not doing this out of some kind of a religious activity. Just to be honest with you, I'm giving it because I felt strong about it. I kind of start in July. When July rolls around, I start lifting up to the Lord, saying, Lord, you know, what's going to be the vision for this next year? And that's what I start praying with. I just, and the more we come closer to it, then the more I pray about it. And, you know, I just kind of mull it around a little bit, that type of thing. And so, you know, I feel very much that this is what the direction for us as a church in the Lord. And if you don't have any direction, then what you're going to do is do nothing but wander around. You know, if you don't have any direction, you're just going to wander around. And, you know, that's not going to work out too well for you. It's not going to work out too well. And you know, we had as a vision, you know, come up higher was the vision for 2024. This last year, which was a strange one for me to do, but it was what I felt the Lord was speaking to me, was prosperity and advancement in the kingdom of God. That's what we did here in 2025. So we're going to go on now to our new one. And as I do that, talking about prosperity, of course, has a lot more to do with than just simply your pocketbook. And we talk about that all the time. But you can't ignore the biblical subject of prosperity. It's just been perverted so often, you know. And but with that, I want to announce this because it's always like, when can I fit this in? And that is that, you know, we're in a fundraiser for our sound system. We need a new sound system, and we need it bad, right? And our goal is $20,000. That's our goal. Our goal is $20,000. So we started this July of this last year, and where we're at right now is at $8,210. Yeah, praise God. You know, can I speak in an honest heart for a minute? You know, Kathy and I've talked about this many times, and you know, is that neither one of us feel very good at being like, you know, fundraisers. All right, okay. You know, now I have no problem talking about money. You know, y'all want it. You know you do. Y'all like it. You know you do. Okay, forget about it now. All right. You know, so, and it is a biblical subject, so it's not some taboo subject in the church. But, you know, I just have a hard time, you know, becoming real rah-rah. I do it well. Boy, I sure like to see this speed up. I sure would like to see this speed up, you know, because we're not even halfway yet. And here's two things I want you to pray about, and that is number one, as a you know, that you make it a matter of prayer as to your giving to the sound system, right? You know, and don't give haphazardly. Pray about it, and ask the Lord, what would the Lord have you to do? And exercise your faith, right? Exercise your faith. And there's a lot of ways you can do it. I'm not going to get into that right now. And then the other thing is, in general, would you pray about it? Pray for us, right? You know, as a church, that we could get this done and, you know, and keep it before the Lord in prayer. Thank you. There's the end of that. All right. So praise God. I'm going to come down here and start with one verse here in Matthew chapter 6. This is a, you know, the part of the vision statement that I have and what I have for us. And going forward, verse 33, it says, "But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." We probably all know that scripture really, really well. So this is our vision statement. For the coming year in 2026 is seek first the kingdom. It's pretty simple. You know, seek first the kingdom. You know, and so I'm lifting that up for us as a church as we go forward, and that we will walk in that way, and that the Lord will give us his blessings. And, you know, I want you to see two things right here as we begin to look. And the first part, and this is the way it is with every promise. You know, first there's a command, you know, all right, with the promise, you know, and then there's conditions. You know, so do you want to look at this for just a minute? And it says in the latter part of 33, it says that all these things shall be added to you. Now, that's the promise of the Lord, right? Well, what an open statement that is, you know, that whatever subject, whatever need that you would have before the Lord, that this is the promise of Almighty God. You know, you have that God will meet your needs. He will meet your needs. And you know, the Lord really, he wants to do more than to meet your need. When we say that, a lot of times we're thinking the minimal, right? The minimal. Our God's a God of abundance. He just is. He's a God of abundance, and you know, he's more than enough, as we were singing about today. And it's all found in him, by loving him with all of your heart. I'm going to speak a little bit more about that in just a minute, but I want you to see that all these things shall be added to you. You know, but then there's a condition. It just seems like that a lot of Christians don't seem to get it. You know, but it says right here, it says, but seek first his kingdom. You know, so we want to be kingdom seekers. And obviously, the implication here in the scriptures is that if you will seek the kingdom first, you're going to find it. You're going to find it. And, you know, he's promised that hidden between the lines, that he will lead you and he will guide you and he will bring you into all of the goodness and all of the fullness of the promises of Almighty God. And that's what the Lord wants to do. He wants you to live in abundance. You know, abundance first starts with being in him and knowing him and loving him and the riches of true fellowship and relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, not that we, you know, so many, it's like Jesus is the gateway, and, you know, after we get into the gate, you know, then, oh, there's no more about Jesus. Now it's all this other stuff that we go into. You know, and that's what happens to so many people. And they don't really realize, do you know that Jesus is your prize? Huh? Jesus, he is your prize. He's not just simply the gateway to greater blessings. He's not simply the gateway to promises And yet, you know, it's such a paradox because he wants to bring great promises. He wants to bring all of the promises that are given in the new covenant into your life. You know, that's what, but he wants to bring them as you're a good steward of the things that he's given you in Jesus and in the Lord. He wants to train us up. He doesn't want to give us something that will be so overwhelming that it'll bring destruction to us, right? It'll bring destruction to it. He'll increase your finances. Yes, he will. You know, and he will. He'll increase your finances. He wants to bless you financially. He will cause you to come into better health. He wants you to have better health. Yes, he will. He will. It's not just simply healing, but it's also the work of the Spirit of wellness. Of wellness and being healthy. You know, now, you know, I'm not 25 years old anymore, you know, so, you know, my health today is maybe a little, I may be different, but I'm healthy. Do you understand what I mean? You know, I'm healthy. And I put, don't you can go to the doctor, go to the doctor. You know, Pastor Ron didn't say anything about not going to the doctor, take your meds, all that. But why don't you add to that believing God and not be so dependent upon, you know, the medical people, right? And all of that. You know, venture out and believe God, you know, and watch and see what the Lord will do, right? You know, so these are things that have been given to us, the kingdom, and we're to be a seeker after the Lord, and we'll be a seeker in the kingdom, you know, and the promise of God is that he will also bring it about. He'll bring you into more. He'll bring you into more. Now it also says here, it says, but seek first his kingdom. And then it doesn't just say that. Then this is not part of the vision statement, but it's implied. And that is, and his righteousness. And his righteousness. You know, that we're going to walk not only in the blessings and the provisions, but we're going to walk in the obedience to God. Being obedient to the Lord is a part of loving the Lord. Someone tells me that they love the Lord, but they do not have a heart to be obedient. I question what kind of love of the Lord that they have. You know, because that's what comes into the heart of the believer. You know, because the one you love, you seek to be pleasing to. The one you love is the one you seek to be pleasing. Husbands and wives, you love one another, you know, and you seek to please them. You want them to be happy. You know, you want to please them. So if you love the Lord, then that means that you have a heart after God, right? That means that you have a heart after God. And you have a willing spirit to lay down the world. You have a willing spirit to lay down the flesh. You have a willing spirit to give up every sin because you hate sin and you don't want any sin in your life whatsoever because it grieves the Lord, grieves the Holy Spirit, and it's an offense against God, the one that you love. You're offending the one that you say that you love. And so you hate sin. And so you don't excuse it. You seek to overcome it. You seek to overcome it. You're not overcoming it in your own power or your own strength, but you're overcoming it by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you power to overcome anything, everything, and all things that are of a fleshly nature, body, soul, and spirit. I don't care how long you've been afflicted. I don't care how hard you have tried. Because it hasn't got anything to do with any of that. It comes to receiving the abundance of the grace of God in that area in your life. And he'll train you on how to let go of it. And it may be a process involved. You know, it may be a momentary thing. But it may be a process involved. But he will set you free. He will set you free. You know, his righteousness, you know, I want to be like you, Lord, because I love you. I know that this is your will for me to walk in your ways. I depart, Lord, from my ways that I may be found in your ways. You know, now with that, you've read this many times. There's a lot to be seen there, and I'm not going to read all that. But number one, let's just go back up here a little bit. In the verse 31, it says, "Do not be anxious then, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves?' For all these things the Gentiles," you know, the Gentiles is he's talking about those who do not know God. All right, that's what he's referring to here. He says, "For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek." You know why that is? Because they're about themselves. You know, when you're in Jesus, your life is not to be any more about yourself. Matter of fact, that becomes the work of the Holy Spirit. I've talked about this before. You know, it's not just simply an issue, well, what sin do I have in my life, or I don't have sin in my life, or I can't name any particular sin. Well, the Spirit of God moves you forward, and it's no longer about actions. Oh, yes, you may have to still pay attention to this and that and whatever it would be, and you may have certain vulnerabilities that you have wisdom about, and you're working on that before the Lord. You never give up. You never give up and learn how to live with it. You never give up because it grieves God. It grieves the Holy Spirit, and you sense it. If you walk after the Spirit, you sense the grieving that comes with the Holy Spirit, and you don't want anything to do with any of that. You don't want to do anything like that anymore. So, you know, you're motivated. You're motivated in your heart before the Lord. But it's not just simply for the believer that walks after Jesus. It's not just simply about, you know, well, do's and don'ts and whether I got this sin or that sin in my life. There's another complete different issue. It's called the issue of self. It's called the issue of self. You know, and what we're talking about right here is that's how the Gentiles live. They live for themselves. Life is about themselves. You know, when you come to Jesus, you give up yourself. You give up yourself. You give up the self-life. There's a lot of Christians, they come to Jesus, and they really never come to that giving up of self. If you want to walk in the Spirit, if you want to walk in the power of God, then the gateway and the path is the giving up of self. And that's got nothing to do with whether, you know, smoking and chewing and cussing, right? It ain't got anything to do with that. It ain't got anything to do with a particular, well, you know, I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that. You know, but what rules and reigns in you? By the Spirit of God, the character and nature of God moving and working in you, or the work of self, the work of self. It's a surrender. It's a surrender. The power comes from the Holy Spirit. Now, with that, I want you to see that there's something that we declare and we walk in. I want you to come up to another place right here in this scripture. And I'm going to look at verse 22. It says, "The lamp," now this is very important to us, "the lamp of the body is the eye." Okay, if therefore your eye is clear. I'm using New American Standard, and so it uses the word clear. If you've got the NIV, it just says the word good. Okay, now look at this. If your eye is clear, that's a key. That's a key. Your whole body will be full of light. And he's not talking about the sunshine, right? He's not talking about the sunshine. Wow. That's an amazing statement that's being made right there for you and I. That Greek word, hapos, it's spelled H-A-P-L-O-U-S. Here's what it really means. It really means singular. It means singular. Oh, wow. Now, that's really quite an amazing statement there. And so it's saying right here, the lamp of the body, okay, the lamp of the body. In other words, what's going to shine in you? You know, and what's going to shine in the midst of dark things, dark areas, dark ways in you? He says right here, he says the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is singular, your whole body will be full of light. Quite an amazing statement right there. And of course, he's talking about, you know, that you declare Jesus as the Lord over yourself, that you're no longer your own. You know, you've heard the statement, right? You know, we all know what it means. And that is, you know, man, I got my eye on that, right? You know, and that's the context in which this is being spoke. You know, boy, that really caught my eye. You know, and we all know what that means when we say it, right? You know, I can see that. You know, and it's to be Jesus. I said it earlier. Did you know that? See, Jesus is your prize. He's not the gateway into other things. It all comes with Him. It comes with Him. It's found in Him. Singular. Jesus. Fellowship with Jesus. Not rhetoric. Not religious humble jumbo talk. Not doctrinal talk. We're talking about experiencing Jesus. We're talking about a fellowship in Jesus. I'm not making a reference as to when you got saved. I'm talking about the condition of your relationship with Him today and now. You know, well, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Let me give you the religious interpretation of that. The religious interpretation of it, well, have you been saved? Have you been born again or not? I'm not talking about that. Personal relationship, real relationship, communion and fellowship. He's not the gateway into, He is it. He is it. I'm going to give you two things that really are very difficult challenges in a Christian walk and the life, and just talk about them for just a little bit. You know, in keeping with this singular heart is the heart after Jesus, a fellowship with Jesus, a relationship, a living communion with Jesus now, today, not what happened to you yesterday. Now, I'm going to give them, here's the two of them. One is selfish ambition, and the second one is idols of the heart. These are great challenges for those that live in Christ. And I want you to be very acutely aware of them and their challenge. You know, selfish ambition. Can I speak one of them on a personal level? And you may not even understand anything that I'm really going to say about this. I'm going to speak it anyway. I call it the preacher syndrome. It's the preacher syndrome. You know how many pastors that in past days that I have counseled with or been on the phone with, and they're just boo-hooing away? When's God going to give me another church? You know, and on and on. And it grieves my heart so much because the ministry has replaced Jesus. And now the only relationship they got is called the ministry and not Jesus. You know, some preachers, you know, I got to be preaching. I'm going to tell you something about myself. I love to preach and teach the word of God, but I'm going to tell you it don't have my heart. The pulpit don't have my heart. I can take it or leave it. You may say, well, that's weird. No, it's not. It's freedom. It's freedom. Because my great delight is in my fellowship and relationship with Him, not that pulpit. Or even, my identity is not that pulpit. My identity is not preacher man. Are you with me there? And I'll tell you, this is a great challenge for pastors. I know I've lived in their world. All right? This is a great challenge for pastors, I won't tell you right now, to where, and they don't even see it. They don't even see it. And it's called selfish ambition. And it can be dressed up to look so pretty as if it's nothing more than the will of God. But it's about Him, not the pulpit, not their ministry. It's about Him. And so it is outside of the pulpit into the pew as well. It's about Him and fellowship, relationship with Him. It's not about He's the gateway to get what I want in Jesus. He's the gateway to get to the promises. He's the gateway to get the blessings of the Lord. One of those that I've seen that have brought such destruction is the perverted message of prosperity. You know, Bible preaches prosperity, and the devil wants to chase you away from it, but it's of God. All right? It's of God. Okay, to be prosperous and prosperity, but not the way that the prosperity people preach it, right? And so many people's faith has been shipwrecked because God didn't make them rich. God didn't bring, you know, a hundredfold. They tithe for the whole wrong reason. And it brought them no benefit whatsoever. And eventually they get mad at God. You know what they do? They get bitter. They get bitter. And I've seen bunches of people fall away from the faith. Fall away from the faith because of that very thing right there. Because their ambition did not get fulfilled. God didn't give them the blessing that they thought should have come their way, or the way that they thought that it should have come. And they become bitter at God. And they harden their hearts toward the Lord. And they might even become very cynical about the things of the gospel. You know, and so we need to understand, you know, that it's about Him. It's about Him. Let me give you some things right here. I'm going to give you the pathway to follow. If you want to write these things down, you may. And I'm going to, first of all, let me say it again. He is the prize. My relationship with the Lord Jesus is just getting sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. It's just getting sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. He is my ambition. Are you with me? He is my ambition. Because we've been invited into a personal fellowship and communion that is so filled with glory. That's why, you know, you'll hear me speak in a negative way, you know, about a devotional time. You know, have a devotional time, but be a seeker after the kingdom of God. Don't let a devotional time define your relationship with Jesus, right? Because, you know, now after you've done your devotion, you've done your duty, right? Now it's about me. You're still living the self life. You're still living the self life. You're not coming into the realm of the Spirit. You're living the self life. You have to give up the self life and let it be crucified before the Lord in order to come into the power of the resurrection life, which is the life of the Spirit. Now, that's an ongoing process, right? But you're the one that has to make the quality, the decision. That's that singularness that we just talked about right here. You know, Jesus is my ambition and He's my goal. All right, now, so here, let me give you the short list of this pathway, which would be number one, would be the walk of repentance and humility. The walk of repentance. I'm not going to talk a lot about that. You know, I am still going to do that message. You know, I think we had it in the bulletin. We hadn't been able to get to that. And that is the light and glory of repentance. We're going to come into talking about holiness and such, true holiness. Repentance and humility. You know, so this is the short list. And then another would right here. You know, number two would be love and faith. They go like hand in hand. They're like a brother and a sister right there. You know, so I'm talking about on a daily direction and how I walk and how I go about my business and being found in Jesus and my pursuits in the Lord. This is the short list. This is the short list. Repentance, humility. You know, and you know, those things that are not of God, I'm going to be turning away from them. I'm not going to let them have me. I'm not going to learn how to live with it. I don't care what it is. I don't care if I have to repent 1,000 times in one day. I'm not going to let it have me, right? And you will be set free. Okay, love and faith, you know, and with that, you know, walk in an expectation before the Lord, because that is a fundamental practice of faith. All right, you know, here's number three. Number three of the short list, you know, is holiness and obedience. Holiness and obedience. You know, seek to be holy. Boy, that's almost a, you know, outdated, antiquated subject, right, for the church today. Good Lord, don't you go throwing any of that holiness stuff at me, right? You know, but you do a word study on it and you see what your calling is in Jesus and how you've been called into the holiness of the Lord. You've been called into the holiness of the Lord. And then, that spells out what? Obedience. That spells out obedience. You know, that's what happens as the Spirit of the Lord makes you holy. Then you bear the fruit of that holiness, and the fruit of that holiness is obedience. You know, you don't become obedient because you simply set out to be obedient. You know, I do that. I'm going to be obedient. But the way that it transitions in my life by the grace of God and bearing fruit in the Lord, is the Spirit of the Lord makes you holy. He makes you holy. He takes out the desires of the flesh. I don't want to do that no more. I don't want to be that way anymore. You know, and the first revelation, can I tell you a first revelation of liberty and victory? You know, a first revelation of liberty and victory is when you come into the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have to do that anymore. Where before the devil had you thinking that you were a slave, I just can't help it. I just can't help it. I can't help. My mama was that way. My mama was that way. You know, I can't help it. I can't. I've been that way all my life. Well, don't be the rest of your life, right? You know, so the first step to liberty and freedom is when you come to the realization that when it comes to being in Jesus, I don't have to be like that no more. Then you start standing against it and expecting different. All right. That's the short list right here. And I want you to hear that. That's as far as that short list goes. So that becomes an everyday walk, everyday practice in Jesus right here. Right? You know, now let me give you the long game. Okay? Now let me give you the long game. That was the short list right there. But let me give you the long game. Here's what the long game is made of in the Lord Jesus and keeping your eyes singular before the Lord. You know, and this will be number one, is to follow or pursue the love affair of the Holy Spirit. Yes, that's what it is. And see, that's where it's about Jesus, see? And then that's when it becomes alive to you and real, because you let the Holy Spirit bring you into a true love affair. A love affair. It's a real love affair. It's a true love affair that has to do with you and your lover, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he has things particular for you in that intimate communion and fellowship. That's number one, as he brings you into an intimate understanding and knowledge, and there's things that happen. Realization, a reality, my doctrine, right? Doctrine. You know, people learn their doctrine inside and out, and they sense it. They know something's not right, because after they've done all of their learning about all of their doctrine, they're still just as empty as they were before they learned it. And it's a quandary to them. Sometimes they have a hard time even coming to answering the question within themselves. Why am I so dry? Why am I so empty? Why hasn't this knowledge transformed me? Why am I not any different? And then they carry around an inner frustration that they don't know what to do with it. Because doctrine will never bring reality. I'm not against doctrine. I love doctrine. But I also have enough sense to know that the doctrine doesn't mean anything, but it's nothing more than a dead letter without the power of the Holy Spirit. Even truth will become nothing more than a dead letter. Are you with me there? Yes. Truth will be nothing more than a dead letter. It won't be any different than the law, the old covenant within itself. The new covenant won't be any different for you whatsoever. It'll be nothing but the new kind of law to live by, and there'll be nothing but deadness in it, because there's no life and there's no power in it, because all that comes through the Holy Spirit. So it becomes a love affair And the love affair unfolds as your focus is on him. It's on him. It's about him. It's not about what I get from him. It's about him. To so much that you're able to give up all the other ambitions. Are you with me there? You're able to give up selfish ambition. Listen to me carefully. Ambition equals motivation. Ambition equals motivation. Wherever your ambition is directed, that's where your motivations are. Do you see? So when it is about him, you become highly motivated after him. I can't wait to get to my prayer closet because he and I are going to meet there today. And we're going to have sweet communion and fellowship versus, my prayer list. Here, I got my prayer list, right? I got my 10-minute time. Makes me right with God all day long, right? I'm prepared for everything because I read 3 scriptures and I prayed about Billy and Joey and Susie, right? See how devoted I am, right? That was my devotional time right there. Got it covered. Sure thing. Sure thing. No wonder I got problems after the flesh. But see, it's not a matter about trying and willpower. It's about heart. It's about heart. And it's about ambition equals motivation. Ambition equals motivation. If I have the right ambition, I'll have the abundance of motivation. And then another one I want to say that these are great challenges, and that's selfish ambition. And then the other one is idols of the heart. And just to give warning, and we surely know, the way that our heart was designed, and talking about in the spirit, is the way that our heart was designed. It was designed for us to give. We give your heart to things. You give your heart. Come on, boys, put your heart into it, right? His heart really wasn't in it. We say that type of stuff all the time, right? What we're talking about right here is it's been given to you that Jesus be your everything. Jesus to be. I'm not talking about what day you got saved, all right? And I'm not minimizing that. But there's a whole spiritual walk behind getting saved. All right? Okay? You just entered into the introduction. Read the first few verses of Romans 5, 1 and 2, and see if it doesn't call getting saved the introduction. See if it doesn't do that. Idols, there's always something that is after you to have your heart, whatever it would be. And there may be nothing wrong with what that activity is within itself, right? Okay? It can be hunting and fishing. Nothing wrong with hunting and fishing. Don't let it be your God. It could be, the ball games, right? Nothing wrong with you watching a ball game, but don't let it be your God. I mean, there's always something, and it doesn't matter how innocent it is. It doesn't matter how good it is. That's got nothing to do with it. That becomes a part of the deception. Well, there's nothing wrong with doing it. No, there's nothing wrong with doing it unless it's got your heart. Now, there is something wrong with it because it's now become your idol. It's your idol, right? Or whatever. So you understand that, that's the other side of it that's very important for us to understand right there. Well, praise the name of the Lord. Now here's, I'm going to give you this real quick right here. So, in the love affair of the Holy Spirit here, you know, is where these things are revealed and overcome. You know, this is where these things are revealed and overcome. Selfish ambition, you know, after the wrong things because, you know, the motivation is wrong. And idols of the heart. You know, the Spirit of the Lord will show you things. He'll say, lay it down. He'll lay it down. I don't want you doing that anymore. You know, not because it's wrong. It's gaining too much ground in you. All right. You know, so the love affair of the Holy Spirit is the way we have a reality of Jesus. You know, it's where, vision is truly found. Revelation is found in the Lord. Inspiration that comes from God. I'm talking about by the Spirit, and then spiritual understanding. You know, there's nothing like spiritual understanding. I'm going to read you a scripture. Listen to this one. You know, without spiritual understanding, this comes from Ezekiel 12 in verse 22. Listen to this carefully. It says, Son of man, what is this proverb you people have concerning the land of Israel? Listen to what he says, saying, the days are long and every vision fails. That's called the deadness and dryness of religion. Oh, good Lord, how much longer have we got here? Versus people who don't want to leave. Right? But not in a religious spirit. Not in a religious spirit. And you know what's happened to us? I'm going to close here in a minute. But you understand what's happened to us religiously in the church? This cultural thing of get in there in 1 hour and get out of there? Let me tell you, you know, you understand that? That's cultural, not biblical. I can show you the opposite. I can show you biblically it's the opposite. And it's not a matter of how much time you're spending. It's letting God have his way. You know, that's the point right here. But this has come into the church and it's ruled the church. And you know them poor old dumb Christians. They're the only people on the face of the earth that can't pay attention more than 30 minutes, you know. Anybody here ever went to school? Anybody here ever gone to college? 30 minutes, give me a break. It's hogwash. It's hogwash. You know what it sacrifices the most? The Holy Spirit will not be dictated in that way. You will not tell the Holy Spirit, buddy, I'm giving you 20 minutes, and whatever you're going to do here supernaturally among us, you better do it in 30 minutes, because I'm telling you right now, in 30 minutes, we're dismissing. That's what you're saying to the Holy Spirit. Really? Excuse me. It's not about time, but it is about yielding. Yes. It's not about time, but it is about yielding. That's a cultural thing that has come in. And you know why that has come in? So we can get more worldly people and half-hearted people in the church. That's why it's come. Oh, that's perfectly fine. Let's have them all come to church. Glory to God. But the point is not to remain like that. Right? And to make it conducive to continually being like that. The church, when it's strong, has always been separate from the way of the world. It's always been separate from the way of the world. The church is in opposition to the world, not conducive to it. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? It's not conducive to it. So, vision comes from the Holy Spirit. He's the one who makes these things real, makes them alive. Kathy, won't you all come on? Beatrice, I'll let you come on up here.